Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus' parable of the talents. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Book of Psalms, Psalm 116 says, and you'll recognize the words from one of our church services, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people." And much like that is Psalm 40. It says, "Lord, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." And in the New Testament, there's a verse much like it, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion." And you know the words, "For the Lord loves a cheerful giver." What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? Lord, I delight to do your will. That's what's in my heart. I delight to be a cheerful giver. Now, over the years, I have come to see that most Christian people have a Bible verse or a passage of Scripture or maybe one of the parables of the Lord Jesus that puzzles them or confuses them or even troubles them. I still remember the dear and fine Christian lady who came to me one day after hearing about Mary and Martha. You remember Martha working in the kitchen and Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, and she said to me, in all earnestness, she said, "Pastor, Jesus was just wrong. He was just wrong." But you know what? I got to hand it to her. She was listening. She was taking seriously what God said to her. And it was something that made her say, "Now, wait a second. Wait a second. I need to understand." Well, I think we all, or at least most of us, have Bible passages like that that maybe trouble us. We don't quite understand what they're about. I have one, and that's today's gospel lesson, the parable of the talents. That has always been a troubling one for me. As a matter of fact, so much so that I almost didn't preach on it today. I looked at the lessons at the beginning of the week, and I said, "Oh, there's the gospel lesson, the parable of the talents again. I don't think I want to preach on that one." But then I look back in my records, and I saw that in all the years that I've been here at St. Peter's, that's since 1998, I have never preached on the parable of the talents. I didn't like it. I wanted to avoid it. And maybe it's just too many old memories. Too many old memories of well-meaning adults saying to us kids, "Now, God's not going to be happy with you if you bury your talents." Or maybe sitting through enough evangelism seminars where it seemed like the Lord only approved of certain kinds of people. He only approved of outgoing people. He only approved of social people, of people who are handshakers and fist pumpers and door knockers and testimony givers. But if that's who God approves of, what are you going to do with a quiet kid who just would rather mow the lawn at the church or mop the floor at the church rather than try to think up some kind of testimony about their faith in the Lord Jesus? How does a kid like that or an adult like that hear today's parable? You might hear it as, "You know, you're not doing enough for the Lord. you are not using your talents, you're going to be judged. And then you come to church every Sunday morning, it's like the corporate meeting of the corporation, and you have to make your report. And the question is this: did you in this last week make enough sales calls for Jesus? Did you fill enough quotas for Jesus? Did you work hard enough for Jesus? Or are you still a probationary Christian, a provisional Christian, a temp worker in the kingdom of God? Only a matter of time before you get your pink slip from the Lord. Well, that is what one fellow thought, the third servant in today's parable. You have the first two. One receives five talents. This is a weight of silver. He gets five talents. The second one gets two talents. The third one gets one talent. And the fellow with the one talent, he says this. He says, "Lord, Master, I know you. I know you. That you are a hard man. You harvest where you've not sown. You gather where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the earth. Behold, I'm giving you back what's yours." Now, you have to be careful what kind of thoughts you put into the heads of young people or into the heads of old people when you talk about the Lord. St. Paul talked about a ministry of death, and there can be such a thing. Our Lord Jesus talked about, when he talked about the Pharisees, this is what he said. He said, the Pharisees, what they do is they tie up heavy burdens on people, hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. And then St. Paul would write, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, God has made us ministers of a new covenant, not the old one. The old one has to do with the letter. It has to do with the rule book. The rule book will kill you, but the Spirit gives life. Now back up. What did the servant say? He said, "Lord, I know you. I know you that you're a hard man. You're a punisher. You're a driver. You're a sharp dealer in business. You're waiting only to punish failure and poor performance. Believe me, I have read Exodus chapter 20. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." And you hear those words, and what conclusion do you come to? You come to the same conclusion you would if all you had was the Ten Commandments. If you came into church on Sunday morning, as you walked down the center aisle to find your place, you looked up on the wall here and you saw two tablets of stone with God's holy commandments written there, what conclusion could you come to? The conclusion would be, did you make enough sales calls? Did you fill enough quotas for Jesus? And I can answer the question for you right now, even if I've never met you. You have not done that. You have not made enough sales calls. You have not fulfilled enough quotas for Jesus. There is not a righteous man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's just a fact. And that's why when we come into church and we look up here, you don't see two tablets of stone. You see two pieces of wood. Two pieces of wood crossed over each other. And when you look at that cross, there you know the Lord. There is where you know the Lord. St. Paul said it when he was talking to the Corinthian Christians. He said, "When I came among you, I made a decision, a ministry decision. I resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Anybody can teach the Ten Commandments. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus and what he did. St. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. He said, "This is a trustworthy saying. It's worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world. Can you finish it? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, or the chief of sinners though I be. You remember the old hymn. To look at the cross, that's to know the Lord. To look at your baptism, that's to know the Lord. Because when you remember your baptism, you recognize that for reasons that are only known to the Lord, only known to His love, for some reason in His love, He reached down for you and He grabbed you and He wrote His name on you and He claimed you for His own. He said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, He said, you're mine. You're my special possession. You're my child. You look at your baptism, you know the Lord. And to take Holy Communion is to know the Lord. To take at face value what He said to you, this is my body sacrificed for you, this is my blood that was shed for you, and here's the price I paid for your sin, and now know that you've been pardoned and you have been made right with your God. To take Holy Communion is to know the Lord. And so sooner or later, you end up in the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 9, and it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And from those words, you can draw a conclusion. That is that until you know that the Lord delights to show you love and to deal justly with you and righteously with you, you are not wise. You are not mighty. You are not rich. So what's the difference? What is the difference between the first and second servants and the third servant? Is it that the third servant has less money to work with? That is just a superficial detail. A talent of silver is a weight of silver. In today's money, depending on whom you ask, it's about $500,000. The Lord gives the man $500,000 to invest. It is a sizable trust that is put into his hands. The difference between these individuals is not the amount of money, but it's how they saw their Lord, and that reflected in their attitude toward Him. And so you and me. If you look at the Ten Commandments and you take them seriously, all you're going to see are quotas. It's a ministry of death. But if you look at the Lord Jesus and you look at His cross and your baptism and you look at Holy Communion and you take them seriously, the only thing you're going to be able to see is that Jesus saved you, Jesus pardoned you, Jesus washed you clean. It's a ministry of life. Jesus met the quotas. And He met the quotas, the performance standards for you. And if the quotas have already been met, and the performance standards have already been met, that takes the burden off your shoulders. That takes the weight off your shoulders. And then you can see what God commands in a different way. You'll look at Psalm 116, you'll say, that's what I mean. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of His people. You'll speak the words like Psalm 40. You'll say, Lord, burdens off my shoulders. Now I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. With the burden off of your shoulders, you'll speak the words of 2 Corinthians 9. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart. It's not reluctance. It's not compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. What shall I render to the Lord? For all his benefits to me, for the benefit of saving me, redeeming me, washing me, giving me a future. What shall I render? O Lord, I delight to do your will. That is what is in my heart. That is my cheerful gift to you. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.